Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. I'm Rick Angies.
Jack Smith. Craig Clark's over there. He's busier than all get out.
I'm Bill Green.
Hey, could you turn this
How
mic?
How come you guys got mic stands?
Could you turn this mic off just a tad? Just a tad.
I'll turn them down just a little.
Just a tad.
There,
there you go.
Good job.
All right, man. So, this past weekend, I went to USA International Speedway, Rick.
Right.
3/4 mile. For people that live in Florida, they know that. For people outside of Florida, they might not know. This is a pretty big, badass racetrack.
Well, NASCAR used to use it for their Richmond track, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was identical to Richmond.
And they still use it as a test facility.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like that. But I have 200-lap race, super late models.
First leg of the Triple Crown.
You know, and one of our guests that we're going to have a little bit later in the show is Ryan Sieg, who drove the 39. He's from Tucker, Georgia.
Felt the wrath of Jeff Schofield.
Well, yeah, beyond that, you know, he was talking to me today a little bit this afternoon. He pointed out that he said, you know, if people who live in up that way really want to learn and race against some tough competition, you got to come down here and race.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people out there that say that Florida late model racing's dead and all that stuff. There's some tough ass competition down here, and it proves
between middle of Florida and up in the Panhandle,
yeah,
at Five Flags,
and lower Alabama.
It don't get no better.
Oh, it's the toughest.
I'm telling you,
it's the toughest. You know, we talk to Steve every week, late model Steve, who's based up there in Pensacola, and I mean the stories that he tells. You know, you got Dave Mader up there. Justin Drawdy's up there right in the thick of things. It's some tough stuff up there.
Yep, no doubt. And there is another super late model race coming up this Friday night at Ocala Speedway.
God, it's hard to believe it's the 12th annual already.
12th annual. And the 12th annual Powell Memorial. And there's going to be at least, we're told, at least 30 cars. There's 27 cars pre-entered. We're going to be talking to the owner of the track, Mike Peters, later tonight, and we're also going to talk to James Powell himself. And
look at the list of names of the guys that have won this race: Jeff Purvis, yep, Freddie Query, David Rudiman. Of course, Wayne Anderson's won it 4 times. Now, in 2003, I vaguely remember, why was there 2 races run?
Well,
250 lapper.
Remember,
right?
there was a little change at because of the ownership at Ocala. There was a little problem
with
Citrus
that. Right,
yeah, so
they, Citrus, yeah.
That was the year before, I guess, and then then whatever, and then they ended up running it at both tracks. It was a
It was
a double weekend. They ran it twice in the same week, and
that was James Powell's first win.
Yeah, that was the first time he actually won the race that he puts on every year. And it's a kind of a, you know, it's it, this year is a very special. I mean, it's always a special time of year, but this year particularly so, because, you know, it's kind of a very, it's even hard to talk about it. I mean, a couple of years ago when we were really getting into it with James on one of the shows, we were talking about it was just quite emotional. I mean, you lose your whole family, you lose your twin daughters, You know, your parents. I mean, it's a, I can't even imagine the horror that this man has gone through.
And a brother too, wouldn't
it? Yeah, very tough. And this year, his wife Kim is expecting a baby daughter. Her due date was yesterday, and it's a very special time for him. And we'll talk to James later tonight.
We still don't know if she's giving birth yet or not, right?
Well, I talked to her this afternoon, and she said she was doing everything she could.
get this thing out of me.
Yeah, so that's where that's at. We're also going to talk to we're going to talk to Dargan Watts, who is an interesting he's been around a long time. I'll say that.
Cadillac to Georgia, right?
Yeah, well, to South Carolina.
South Carolina.
He does some work with Sumter Speedway up in South Carolina, which is a dirt track. Been up there 51 years, I believe, in the Sumter, South Carolina area. And it's one of those racetracks. It's a dirt track hanging on to life by a thread. And there's some folks up there that are trying to just do everything they can to keep that place open because keep it from going the way of the so many of the other.
Well, you know, speaking of tracks like that, last week we talked about San Antonio Speedway with Rick Day.
Yep.
And how it was closing. And I see that our buddy Rick's got him a job.
Yep. Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows how to do it.
The good rise up, I guess.
Yeah. We're also going to go into our hopefully we're going to talk to Brenda Grubbs from Palm City, Florida, who is an IHRA driver. Craig, what does she drive? What does she do?
A race car.
What kind of
sportsman? She's in the sportsman class.
Sportsman class.
But they've amassed quite a few wins.
Oh, is that right?
Her and her husband.
Yeah.
Race together.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And they're. Do you know them personally?
I don't know her that well.
Yeah.
Steve's knows her really well.
Stage and Stevie. LaPlante. LaTemp.
Why do I say help me? Help me.
Why do I do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. We don't have a problem with that. And then we have two drag bikers, Jay Turner and Rick Moore, and they both run top, well.
One runs Pro Fuel and Top Fuel, and the other one's a.
Bikes, right? Harleys?
Yeah, all Harley all drags.
Harley drags the last half hour.
Half hour, yep. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, we've been a ton of response, and Stevie LaTemp will join us later in the show for that.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Yeah, if these roundy round guys don't start responding, we're going to go all Harley drags.
Absolutely. Well, they actually do respond pretty good.
We'll go the last half hour for stock
cars. We like to give them a hard time. A couple of announcements on things coming up starting this Thursday. 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday night is the premier edition of Inside Florida Racing. It's all Florida, 2 hours. And we're going to have some interesting guests. We got some fans. Don Sutter, the anonymous HTC from the message board.
Anonymous.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I failed to mention that last Saturday.
And another one of the stage characters from the Florida Stock Car Racing message board, String Bean, going to join us. He's going to tell us all about dirt racing up.
What the heck's a String Bean?
Well, that one guy said we made all these names up, right?
Yeah, we made them all up. Yeah. Well, we're going to bring them all out and show you who they are.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday night, or on Thursday night.
Thursday
night.
Yeah,
and Wayne Anderson, who won the 200-lap race, as Craig heads practically fell off of his shoulders on that swivel. Isn't the food great here at the Snook River Grill, Craig?
Yes.
I wolfed mine.
I'm having the fish and chips. It's good.
Kurt Jett.
I ate some of your French fries.
Kurt Jett.
Late model racer.
Yeah, super late model racer up there. At, he came in 10th at the race in at Lakeland, and he handled himself pretty good, actually. I was surprised the first time I'd seen him race, I think. But he'll be at Ocala, and I think he's also going to go down to DeSoto Super Speedway this weekend. But we're going to talk to him a little bit because he will be another one of those guys that will be racing in the Powell Memorial. So we're going to talk to him Thursday night. And, of course, we'll have some crazy other people. Carol Wicks is going to be a part of that show.
All right.
Jason Where? Beckner.
Where?
Inside Florida Racing, the new Real Racing USA show. You see, now this is now Real Racing.
That's the new announcement. That's the big announcement right now, is that it's no longer Real Racing USA on the Short Track America networks.
It's real. This is Real Racing Live on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And it's brought to you by
Real Racing USA.
There you go.
On the Real Racing USA networks.
So we're going to take Short Track America and we're going to put it over
on
the side for a minute and maybe
we're
going to
give the
later.
Short track guy that.
We also have we also on Real Racing USA tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we have the ASA Fastlane, and hopefully we did an interview recently with Wesley Burton. That was a really, really cool interview. He works
Try not to play two things at
yeah,
once.
Yeah, it was
That's the problem with multitasking.
A technical foul up, let's put it that way.
Multitasking. Multitask foul up.
Wesley works. He's an interesting young man. He works up there with Hendrix Motorsports. Very, very interesting young man. We're also going to try to have Sean Murphy and Chris Fontaine, as we've tried to do for a week. We had some get over the
technical
things.
American Idol's over, so Fontaine ought to be available.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what we got coming up. What else you got, man?
Well, we announced a couple weeks ago, July the 24th, the Sunshine Speedway Reunion Show. And I'm getting a ton of response about this. Just so everybody who doesn't know, people who don't read the message board, I don't know what they're listening to if they don't. But the venue is going to be Quaker Steak and Lube in Clearwater, Florida.
It's in Clearwater.
In Clearwater.
Which is a very large suburb of Tampa, Florida.
Pinellas.
Yeah.
St. Pete. What are you talking
Pine
about?
Pine House. It's not Tampa.
Tampa. Tampa's on the other side of the bay, Jack.
Hey.
It's a long way.
It's a Tampa Bay area.
Well, there, which we're a part of here.
Yeah.
At the Snook River Grill.
Tampa Bay. Well, the place holds 500 people. I'm thinking we're packing the place.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I think we're packing the place. No doubt. I mean, the response we're getting. Terry's working hard at this. Terry Scampton, rather. Of course, the Rocket Man, Wayne Jefferson, going to be our special guest co-host along with Terry.
Dwayne Dempsey, who came in second at the USA International Speedway Triple Crown race on Saturday night. I asked him if he was going to be there. He said, of course I'll be there. It was my home track.
Absolutely. The first time I ever saw Dwayne Dempsey race
was Iron Man.
Who gave him that name?
I think we did, didn't we? Yes, we did.
He raced three races at Lakeland in August.
As a matter of fact, when Scott McAllister was interviewing him in the podium, he finished second up there, and that was what he referred to him as, and it's the Iron Man. So yeah, he's kind of got that name.
He ran the Sarah Modified, the Sarah Late Model, and the Florida Pro Race.
Now, interestingly enough, on the 24th of July, which is when the event is up there at the Quaker Steak and Lube, there's also another event happening on the 24th of July.
Uh-huh.
24th, 25th, and 26th, I believe, is the date that Bobby Orr will have his first school of the new Bobby Orr Racing School. He'll have a website out this weekend coming up. And you can, anytime after probably Friday, you'll be able to go to the front page of Karnak.com, KARNAC.com, and find his Bobby Orr Racing School website.
Bill France Jr. died.
Yes.
Probably.
Nasty car.
Nasty
the
car. No, he's the son.
The son of the founder.
But he made it what it is.
Sure.
He made it what it is today.
Yeah.
And, you can say a lot of things about Nasty Car and all that. They got the money. They found the money.
Oh, Larry,
who's got the money?
There's no doubt.
Who's got the money?
You know, I was telling somebody that the other night. It's like, what's the difference between a big 200-lap race, 250-lap race at Lakeland, three-quarter-mile track, full fields of cars, big fields of cars? The only difference is between that and, say, one of these other big, big races that NASCAR puts on is those guys are known.
They're stars and stuff. But I read an article about Bill France Jr. Last night, and one of the things it said is that I guess his dad was a hard ass. I mean, Bill France, Big Bill, was a hard ass. And what I've heard interviews from all the NASCAR guys that knew him and stuff,
he hung out with people like Clyde Hart.
But he said he made him do everything. Every job that could be done, he did it. He did tech, he did flag, he did promotions, he cleaned the bathrooms, he did parking. When they built Daytona, you know, he ran a forklift. What the hell is he doing?
That's kind of what we do with Craig Clark, our sound guy, right?
That's me.
Co-host. That's Craig.
But they said the equipment when they were building building Daytona International Speedway, that it was built in a swamp. So the equipment kept sinking in the swamp. So when they were pulling the palm trees out, he couldn't use the equipment, so he went and got donkeys.
My goodness.
And they're still there today.
No, they're dead. The donkeys died.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break here. I think we're ready, right? Or you got some more?
I don't know. Did you happen to watch the Nasty Car race, Craig?
No, I was busy.
You got to turn that mic
on. I was busy watching the NHRA race.
I watched, but there's a thing called this remote that you can go past.
Yeah.
But I
can't watch a race. I got to be
Busch,
there.
Kurt Busch and Tony Stewart. It could have been Jeff Schofield and Jeff Choquette.
Right?
It was classic. It was classic. One wasn't going to give the other one, and one spun the other one, and one ran to the other one. And when Tony pulled into the pits, Busch pulled up beside him, almost ran over his crew guy, and believe it or not, they parked him. They parked one of the NASCAR stars.
Really?
Said, get out of your car. Park it. You're done, Kurt Busch.
Oh, this was during the race?
During the race.
All right. Well, good for them.
ASAD. All depressing, all the time. And now here's a dedication to Frank from Jane, who just called from a taxi. And it reads, Frank, you lying weasel weenie. It's bad enough you're shooting blanks. Now you're leaving the door wide open, letting all the heat out. But you're born in a barn, you stupid.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
And we're back here at Real Racing USA with Jack Smith, Bill Green. No.
And Rick Angies.
And who?
Bill Green is very busy doing his Tampa up to Reading.
I saw him. He was at USA. He came over and said hello to me in turn one in between the wrecks.
He's been doing pretty good with the Tampa Tribune deal.
Unlike you, he had time to come over and say hello to the poor old guy over in turn one. I know you were too busy schmoozing down pit road.
He was feeling sorry for you.
Yeah. So it went pretty smooth. We didn't have too many wrecks. It was amazing that we got that race in though with the drizzle and the rain and the clouds and the wind. 20-30 mile an hour wind. Jack, do you know that track before you got there was wet?
Yeah.
That wind kicked up at 30 miles an hour and literally dried the track. We didn't have to go out there. I mean, it was incredible. But
don't be so dramatic.
Yeah, here's a guy who's been. We have a guy on the line right now who's dried a few tracks in his day, I bet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Dargan Watts is a promoter. He used to be the promoter. Now he just takes care of the media and generally helps out Sumter Speedway. Welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thank you, and we appreciate so much that you've showed an interest or even found out about Sumter Speedway. It's still in existence and still perking right along. And, yes, we have dried out a few dirt tracks. over the years. The first time was about 50 years ago at an old speedway in South Carolina called Ashwood Speedway. And we've been at it ever since. We've done a little asphalting along the way, and I had not seen or been around the dirt track for 19 years up until about 4 years ago. And living here in Orlando, we went up in that direction and saw a race and got talked into coming back up there every weekend. So we made a trip from Orlando, Florida to Sumter, South Carolina every Thursday, and would leave there Sunday morning and head back to Orlando, Florida, and get back in about 8 o'clock Sunday night. So we were just overjoyed to be a part of Sumter, and we still are. But there are a couple of girls that are operating the racetrack right now that are doing a tremendous job, and they're not rookies by any means. Excuse me. They have been around the racetrack for many years. In fact, their uncle owns the racetrack, and he just did not have time to really devote the energy to promoting the racetrack, and he offered it to anybody who wanted to lease it under some certain situations, and nobody came to pass. So Wanda Duke and her husband David and Priscilla Baker and her husband Dallas Baker have undertaken this thing, and really and truly, so many people felt that they would last about 2 weeks. But I think this Saturday night will probably be the eighth race of the year, and they have just done a tremendous job as far as putting a show on, getting the people involved, and bringing new blood in the grandstands, and new blood on the racetrack. And really and truly, I think for the 51st year of racing at this little dirt track, I think it's going to be a fantastic year before the year's out.
Dargan, let's go back to Orlando and shuttling back and forth to South Carolina. Wasn't there a car involved in that?
Well, I drove a car up there every week, yes. I didn't fly by any means.
But, I mean, didn't somebody give you a car to do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was part of the agreement because, man, that's 850 miles round trip every week. Plus,
Rick has a good memory. We talked to you about that a long time ago.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, he has a good memory. That was probably back in 2002 when we had that conversation.
Could be, could be.
So what classes are they running up there? What kind of schedule are they on? And what can people expect if they take a trip over to Sumter Speedway? Been there 51 years, a long time.
Rick, the surprise of all up there this year is a strictly bomber class. It is strictly stock. The fellows still have their CDs playing, and they have the radios playing, they have the horns blowing. When they want to pass somebody, they just come up behind him and start blowing the horn. And from what I understand, a couple of them are going to put the big boom boxes in the back of the car. So this thing started out the first night with one car. The next week was four. The following week was seven. Now it's up to about 17 cars and more of them being built. And more and more young people are getting involved in the grandstand, and they're picking out friends. And it's the way racing was intended to be back when it got started, back in the 40s and 50s, really. And then the second class is the street stock. And this is a popular form of racing, and it's a little bit more expensive than what the bomber class is, but they put on a good show. And another one that's really blossoming is stock four class. These fellows are out there in front wheel drive and rear wheel drive, and doing a good job of entertaining the people and having fun. And then you progress from there up to what some racetracks call Renegades, and it's called Ridge Runner there. They're all V8s and pretty high-powered. And then the final class is limited late model. And these fellows really, people don't realize it, but they're turning times on this 3/8-mile track just a shade under what the super late models do.
So, Darden, what was your involvement in racing here in Orlando area in Florida?
Spectator.
That's it?
Yeah, I've been to one race in 21 years since we've been down here, and that was to East Bay. I've had a lot of people ask me to come and all, but I haven't ventured out. I'd love to go over to Volusia County, and I've had 50 or 60 invitations to Speed World and New Smyrna, but I just haven't gotten that far, I guess.
So it was just an 850-mile journey to go to the races?
Pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Really and truly, I enjoyed it. But when you start coming down I-95 on a Sunday afternoon and all of these people coming into Orlando for a vacation, and Leslie, the last year that we were up there, we sat within 40 minutes of our house for 5.5 hours there on I-4, and got there about 45 seconds after two people had been killed on a road rage type thing. And then before it was all over, within a couple of days, five people were killed. And getting about 3 and 4 hours sleep and driving that distance back, it did a toll. It told on us pretty good. So we just decided that there'd be something else that came along that we could help with. And the biggest thing was keeping the track open, because I guess the fishing of the track was closed until Wanda and Priscilla and their families took this thing over. And and as I say, they have done a wonderful job on it.
You mentioned a few times that this was a real grassroots kind of racing establishment. Give us an example of that.
Well, it's funny. A couple of the drivers. One night, one of the fellows drove from a little town of Pinewood, which is about 16, 18 miles down the road, and he drove his car to the racetrack. Came in, took his license plate off, because he had to have his license plate to be able to drive on the road. Took his license plate off, just like they used to back in 1957 when racing started. And he goes out there and wins the race. And then another driver came in and weighed his car, and he was 100-pound light. And he was told he'd have to put some lead in there to be legal. And he said, well, I don't have any lead. So David Duke, who is the track prep man, the inspector, you name it, David's doing it all this year, along with his families. And David said, well, we've got a shovel and there's plenty of dirt. So the fellow goes out there and gets him 120 pounds of dirt and puts in the back of his car, gets back on the scales, he's 20 pounds over. So that's what you call grassroots racing.
Down
and,
in the dirt.
Even with the tires, there are no expensive groove tires this year. These are actually tires that are slicks and have been used on asphalt, and they're bringing them down and selling them at a very, very, very cut rate price. And the cars are performing perfectly on slick tires. And this is really up until, oh, I'd say 8-9 years ago, all of the cars out there drove on slick tires anyway, because the track does get rather hard sometimes. But at $40 a piece, that beats the heck out of paying $115 for a single tire.
No doubt.
That's pretty cool. What do you see for the rest of the year? You saying that the track's doing pretty good, and they're coming along with it. What kind of
The car count has grown about 30 since it opened the first night. The grandstands now, according to what Wanda told me, the grandstands now are putting more people in there than they've seen in there in 2 years. So it's just a thing of getting the people out there and something that's not real expensive. In fact, the way they're running it is very similar from what they tell me on how the go-karts run. You pay a fee, and they're actually the drivers are actually renting the track from you. They're paying a fee to race, and you take part of that fee, and after paying some of the expenses, and put that into the purse, and that's what they're racing for.
Well, you know, that's when it comes right down to it, that's what they're really doing at every other track, too. They just got a lot more shell games going on.
That's it. You look at these super late models now, you're talking about $80,000 invested in those things. And I noticed that the Carolina Clash, which is the top touring, well, it's a regional touring class in the Carolinas, only had 16 cars at a race up in outside of Charlotte 2 weeks ago.
And that's in the heartbed of stock car racing.
Bull diving. And right now, tracks are holding on for life up there. Of course, we just went up there last week, and my Lord, we paid $165 just for gasoline alone to go up there.
Right.
And you look what they're paying to haul these cars up and down the road, and what it costs nowadays, and the people they're having to put a lot of their money into that automobile that they drive to work, and they're paying $3 a gallon for gasoline. A lot of that Saturday night racing money is going to get to work, and they just don't have it. And I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. You look at really at NASCAR. The attendance is down about 18% this year. They have not had a sellout in almost 2 years for a Nextel Cup race.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
It's something that
maybe they need more fights.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Loosen the strings a little bit.
Well, that's the way it used to be, boy. You'd go out there and you'd always see a fight of some kind. And now in Nextel Cup, boy, if you just stick your finger at somebody, you get fined and
dragged to the trailer.
See with NASCAR, you get fined. Well, you'd be told that you were fined, and the press would be told that a certain driver would be fined, and then they'd slip around to give him his money back a little bit later. But that's what drew the crowd. But now, man, with the money that these fellows are being paid, they can't go out there fighting anymore.
There you go.
But racing is still fun, and these fellows at Sumter right now, they're having fun. They're not spending a whole lot of money for their cars, and they certainly aren't winning anything. But anybody that gets behind the wheel of a car and thinks he's going to make money on a Friday and Saturday night event, he's looking at the wrong place.
So SumterSpeedway.com, people can go to SumterSpeedway.com and find information out about the track and where to get, how to get there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Race results and all that sort of thing.
Well, really, with the racetrack, there's some people that mean an awfully lot to keeping this thing going. Gary Luiso, he's in his 21st year of scoring. His father-in-law, who introduced him to scoring, Jim Skinner, Jim has been around since probably day one. And there's no bigger race fan anywhere in the world than Jim Skinner is. And then Virginia Ayers and her husband, who own a car, they're just out there all the time and promoting the racetrack and doing all they can to get people interested and all that. And it just takes that to for any type of racetrack to survive. And when you got something like Sumter is right now, it's just a flat rebuilding stage. Either rebuild or survive. To survive, either get it going or close the gates is what it amounts to. And so many racetracks have done that, and so many of them right now are turned into housing projects and everything else. So,
well, Dargan, you know, it's people like you that keep, you know, the late Saturday night stock car racing alive. You did it 50 years ago. You're still doing it now. It's great having you on Real Racing USA. We definitely want to get you back on because you got so many stories and so much history to tell.
I listened to John and Scott talking about the writing, and I wrote my first story in 1962, and he was talking about doing 40 columns a year. My Lord, chicken feed, man. 150, but anyway.
There you go.
So much, man, with the computer age and what he was talking about, getting people mad, and this day and time with the computers and the websites and dadgum message boards. Boy, I'll tell you, they pick out one little item and they'll crucify you.
You got that right.
Oh, no doubt. Cause
I write for
a Saturday night racetrack every Saturday night. And I slip up one time, and it's all over.
Boy, I'm telling you.
All right,
it's either a wife or a girlfriend or a niece.
Oh, no doubt. And don't misspell a damn name.
Oh, no. Well, this is rather comical. There have been a couple of times up there this year that, see, what Gary Liuzzo faxes me the score sheets. He'll usually get them to me about midnight or sometime within 30 or 40 minutes after the race is over, and he faxes me the score sheets and the roster. And then Virginia Ayers will email me the images that Jimmy Dimsdale takes at the racetrack, and then we put our story together from that. But there's been a couple of times that we just flat didn't have the names. So Willie Turnover is a one that I've used for many, many years, Willie Turnover and Slide Clyde, and a couple of those have appeared here lately. But
we've never done that down here at Karnak.com. We would never do that.
Jack says we got to be professional.
Well, by golly, you printed a couple of them up.
Dargan, it's been great talking to you, brother. We got to talk to you again.
One other thing, Rick, that I would like to plug. Boy, Mark Osborne, who is a former Sumterite, lives up in the cold state of Vermont right now, is going to have a book out in about 2 weeks called Rebel Speedway. And Mark has taken about 100 pictures from the 1956 through 76 era and taken old black and white pictures. And he's a... I guess you'd call it a character artist, but he has redrawn all of these pictures and has done a fantastic job. And if anybody might be interested in dirt track racing from back in that time period, it's pretty interesting reading. And there are a couple of trivia things that happen with one of the famous race drivers that people really don't know, and his name is Earnhardt. Of course, it's Ralph Earnhardt, and there's a pretty good amount of space in there given to Ralph and how he used to handle things. But if somebody might be interested in this book, and as I say, it will be coming out toward the end of this month, they can go to SMTR Speedway. Just leave out the U and the E, but SMTR Speedway at yahoo.com and can get the particulars from Mark on when the book will be coming out.
What's his last name?
Mark Osborne. O-S-B-O-R-N-E.
All right, and that book's coming out at the end of this month?
3 years on this thing.
Well, we'll need to get him on the show at the end of this month.
It sounds good. Sounds good. Well, right. Fellas, I appreciate that, Jack. We do appreciate everything you're doing, and without you people with the first-class websites, small tracks couldn't couldn't exist because, as I heard what John was talking about with the newspapers and radio and TV now, that's just a thing in the past as far as short tracks anymore.
Absolutely.
But we do appreciate it all, and we appreciate you doing what you have for Sumter Speedway.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, and we definitely want to talk to your friend about the book.
Okay, my man.
All right.
Appreciate it much. Take care now.
Thank you, Dargan.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, we are live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, home of Real Racing
USA. I wanted
USA.
To hear the rest of the Bud commercial.
No Bud commercials. We're so far behind because of all the crap that you did tonight, all the messing around with everything.
Yeah, Jack.
We finally got
it's
it
all
going.
Your fault, Jack.
I think it's always a promoter's fault.
Yeah, okay. You're the promoter.
Always a promoter. What's
you're
that laughing
promoter,
in the background?
I
hear
I think
laughing
we have
in the background.
One of those mean promoters on the air with us here. Mike Peters from Ocala Speedway. How you doing, guy?
Hey, guys. How's it going at the Stuck River Grill tonight?
Insane.
It's going.
Hey, I just heard bits and pieces of that, so just blame me.
Okay. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
Mike, you got the big one coming up this Friday night, brother.
Man, we are stoked up here. It's building to a fever up here in the Ocala area. Phone's been ringing off the hook. Biggest field of cars we've seen for the Powell Memorial in a long time, and it's a really great thing. The race is for a really great cause.
Absolutely. You know, the Powell family, you know, their roots go all the way back to when that place was a dirt track, and this is a very, very special race for James Powell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So from what I understand, you're approaching perhaps 30 cars for this show Friday night?
We've got 27 confirmed late models right now, and we've got 10 on the maybe list. There's a couple of maybes. They were wondering how their cars were going to hold up at Lakeland and some of the other tracks in the area, too, last weekend.
So, yeah, 37 cars. That's well, and he's got 10 on the maybe list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's 37 race cars.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's
if the 10 maybes make it, yeah, we'd be well into the 30s.
I believe that race this year will probably draw in the 30s. You know, you got the top drivers in the state of Florida. You know, this is the 12th anniversary of this race. Some of the, you know, like I was talking to Jack earlier tonight, Jeff Purvis, Freddie Query, David Rudiman, Mike Franklin Jr. What a list of drivers.
Sure, and that's one of the great things about it. You know, four of the drivers that are already committed to coming and racing are previous winners, which is really going to fuel the competition, too. We're just missing Mr. Rudiman.
Yeah, we need to get him back here.
Don't you guys know anybody at Toyota?
Yeah, actually, we do. Rick Bristol.
yeah, they don't like us too much. Man.
No, Toyota. We make fun of Toyota.
We make fun of them.
But they're racetrack killers.
So, what else do you have? Okay, so we got 125 lap. Now, let me ask you this: How are you going to count the cautions? This is something the fans always want to know. How do you count the cautions for this event?
We're counting the first three cautions only for 100 laps, and then it's 25 laps of green flag racing.
So you go three laps, They'll count those three, and then like if it's 10 laps, it only count three
of
them.
All right, so if it takes 5 laps to clean up a mess, you only count 3 of them cautions.
We're only counting the first 3 up to 100 laps, and then we're doing 25 laps of green flag racing at the last portion of the race.
So now, is this strictly going to go off qualifying? Are you going to have heats? Are you going to have any consi races? How are you going to do that?
Well, depending on what the actual car count ends up being, we're looking at some consi races as well, just like we did for the blue-gray. We had 37 modifieds for the blue-gray, and we locked in the top 18, and then we had 2 consi races, and then we left 2 for owner picks or promoter choices, too. We try to save 1 pick for a local person and another pick for a guy that's from out of town.
So I want to know how much it cost you to get the shuttle to go off the same night.
Man, that took a lot of string pulling.
Did your background as a pilot have anything to do with it?
No, I doubt it.
Mike, this is what, your second year as owner of Ocala?
Yeah, we're about a year and a half through the second season.
So what does it feel like for you? I mean, this is, of course, your second Powell Memorial, but this it's finally probably sunk in how deep-rooted this race is. How does it feel on your end to be, you know, basically the host?
It's awesome. I can't describe it. It's a lot of fun, first of all. And going into the second year now, you know, the first year, I'm not saying that, you know, we know everything there is to know now. We're still on a big learning curve, but the first year obviously was a huge learning curve for us. You know, and there are certain things that are hot when you touch them, and you don't touch those anymore, and you learn from them and move on, you know. We learned a great deal of stuff in the first year here at Ocala Speedway and are just looking at continuously trying to expound on that and make things better, do everything we can to contribute to racing in the state as a whole, continue to try and focus on working with the other tracks, rule-wise, you know, traveling series-wise, division-wise, race-wise, whether we're scheduling on top of other tracks, so forth and so on. I think we've had a lot of success so far this year with it, with our partnership with Inverness. It seems to be holding up very well as far as the same rules. Bronson is also running the same rules now, so we have a 3-track area here, or 3 tracks in a close vicinity of the same area that are running the same rules. If we're running late models, Inverness is not. They're running modifieds, and vice versa. If they're running late models, we're running modifieds. We swap back and forth.
I'm disappointed in hearing all of this, Mike. Here you are breaking traditions. These are long-standing Florida traditions of not non-cooperation, and here you are breaking all the rules.
Well, it's all about building relationships.
There you go.
That's what it boils down to, you know, and you have to be willing to stick to your end of the bargain and your end of the commitment as well. We've been kind of slack on modified races up here the last few weeks. We took one night off the schedule to help the Gulf Coast Modified Series out. They had an Orlando race, which also races on Friday nights. We gave the modifieds off that night, and then because they run bi-weekly, they were going to run with us last Friday night, and then we got rained out. You know, and of course, I completely understand a lot of drivers want to, why can't we schedule, you know, during the PAL? That'll really make for a good race night. And, it's a matter of the whole machine now, not just our track. You know, we formed some partnerships and made some agreements with other tracks, and we're going to uphold them.
That's very cool, man.
So, you know, we can't just arbitrarily just kind of go out on a whim and do things without, you know, making sure we're living up to our commitments and agreements with other places.
You know, what do you think of it? Is James Powell a special guy or what, man?
Yeah, oh, he's a super guy.
Yeah.
Powell's an awesome guy.
Yep. Yeah, man, to be able to do, he does this every year, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous thing. And I remember a couple of years ago when he won that first race,
yeah.
Rick, that was awesome.
Yeah, that had to be a real special night.
Yeah. So what else you have besides the super late model 125?
We have our 4 cylinders, our V8 pure stocks, our V8 rookies, and our street stock division.
So it's a full card.
It's a full card, absolutely.
And if you get 37 late models, you're in for a late night, brother.
Oh man, we're religiously out of here at 11:30.
So which is the bigger challenge now? You've been doing this for 2 years. Which is the bigger challenge? Running a racetrack or flying a 737?
Running a racetrack.
There you
go. Every day of the week, man.
Somehow or another, I figured that's what you were going to say.
Every day of the week, yep, running a racetrack.
So what big things are coming up for Ocala Speedway?
Well, the following weekend, we got the TVARA Sprint, Outlaw Sprint cars coming next Friday night, which always turns out to be a great event for us here. It's a great track to watch those cars go around. One of the last two races here, they went green to checkered the whole time. The flag in the middle of the field was actually wrapped around the flagpole because of the vortices created in the middle of the track.
Yeah, well, you know, I work at DeSoto Speedway, and we had them go green to checkers a few races back, and they did it in just over 7 minutes.
Isn't that crazy?
And John said, that's the quickest $20,000 I ever spent in my life. But, he loves it. You know, we got them there 8 times this year, and I've never seen them at Ocala. But I it's got to be a treat to watch.
Well, you got to come join us, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get up there for one of those.
You know what we got coming up in October?
That's right.
It's going to be bigger this year. And, Jack, I need to know who's going to be coming and announcing this race for 12 hours straight again.
Well, we'll do it. I mean, it's already in the bag. We're doing it.
Yeah. I'll be there this year. And plenty of caffeine.
It's going to be a little different. It'll be a daytime deal this year, right?
There you go. It's not scheduled all night like that was last year.
Yeah, we'll have fun. This will be I can't wait for that. What is the date of that?
It's in mid-October. It's right in the middle of our fall festival, our 3-day weekend. It's on a Saturday. And I've actually had numerous requests to make it a standalone event by itself, actually picking up 3 to 4 more trucks this year, the pro trucks or fast trucks are going to come join us. If you remember last year, we had one truck there.
Right.
And they told me that they were real worried about conserving their engine the whole time.
And he almost won.
He almost won. But they told me this year all bets are off, man. They're gonna pour the coals of that thing for 12 hours and hope it lasts.
All right. Good deal.
All right, Mike.
We will see you Friday night, Michael.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're gonna bring Carol Wicks up there to your place.
Very good. I met her last year at the Powell Memorial. Very nice lady.
Hi, Mike. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, guys. Have a great night.
We'll see you Friday night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah, quite a deal. Good show coming. No doubt about it.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 Open Wheel Modified and number 94 Super Late Model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feeding frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
We are back at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East. Real Racing, what do we call it? Real Racing Tuesday night?
No, it's Real Racing USA Live.
Real Racing USA Live.
Yeah.
On the Real Racing USA Networks. Jack, you went up to Lakeland this past weekend. Got to see a lot of talent up there. You told me about this dude that was running up there, had a top five car the whole time.
My mic on?
Turn the microphone
turn
on.
My mic on?
Yeah, that I can hear him.
There you go.
There you go. How you doing, Ryan? Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I had a good car up there.
Yeah, I guess you did. You were running in the top five all night long. First question I got to ask you is, all the other people came in about halfway through the race. I don't know the exact laps where they were. It was about halfway. You elected to stay out. What was that all about?
We didn't elect. We only had one crew, and we were sharing it. So he got first choice. Whoever was running in front got to pit first, and he pitted first, which was Wayne. And he had about four guys, and I had about four. So we kind of shared and worked with it like that.
Oh, I see. So you were teaming up. You were sharing pits with pit crews with Wayne Anderson?
That is correct.
Ah, gotcha.
So how'd you end up being a teammate of Wayne Anderson?
You know, I called him up and asked him for a little help, and he went with me, and he said, hey, if you want to, bring your car down here. You can work on it in my shop, and I'll tell you what to do. He said, I'm not going to do the work, but I'll tell you what to do. So I've been working in his shop for about last month or two. I'll go down there for 3 or 4 days, and he tells me what to do, and I work on the car, and when I don't know what to do, I ask him, and he'll tell me.
He's a quite a bit of knowledge right there.
No, yeah. Well, that's why I'm trying to learn anything I can from him. with him, you got to be a fast learner, because he doesn't put up with much.
No, he doesn't waste any time either.
No.
Go ahead, Rick.
Go ahead, Ryan.
He's just been coaching me and telling me what to do and try to finish him up. He said, we don't need to tear him up. We need to finish him. And that's what I was trying to do.
So, Ryan, what's your background in stock car racing?
Well, actually, my brother raced, and I helped pit crew him all the time. And I actually wanted to get into it, so I took one of his old cars, and I had been running it in that NASCAR Weekly race in the two barrel division, and I wanted to start racing four barrels, and asked Wayne one day if he would help me, and he would, at the time, which was sometime last year, he said yeah, and he wasn't racing that much at that time. I don't know why, but he said he'd come along and tell us what we're doing wrong, and the minute he came along, we just started running up front.
Yeah, that's the truth right there.
So your brother is Shane Sieg, right?
That is correct.
Which one of you is a better race car driver?
Oh, well, there's no doubt I am.
Okay.
I'm younger.
There you go.
How old are you, Ryan?
I'm 19.
Yeah, cool. And your brother races in, is he still racing in the trucks?
Actually, he's not racing. He did try to go make one with his own truck this year, but He raced with other teams, and he tried to do it on his own and just found out it was a little bit more than he wanted.
Yeah.
So I asked if I could drive a race or two, and I ran really pretty good in the last couple races. So and that's why I just asked Wayne if he would go with me. And Wayne said, "You can go with me. I'm not going to you know, he wanted to race also. And I wanted to go to Lakeland and race because I had never raced there before. And I just liked it. And so I wanted to go down there and really had a good car. I think I could have kept up with him.
So give us your perspective on what happened Saturday night.
Oh, I know what happened. I looked out my right door, and there wasn't a car there, and all of a sudden I went around backwards. So the only thing that could have happened is somebody hit me in the right rear quarter and spun me around, because when I was going down, what had happened, the 07 and the 12 were coming off of turn four, and the 07 hit the 12, and they both got sideways, and I just went low down the straightaway. And I was on the inside, so I just was going to pass both of them. And the 07 was in the middle, and the 12, he backed out of it. And the 07, about three-quarters away, we didn't even get to the turn. And I was already past him because I could look out my right side, and I knew that there was no car there. And but I didn't turn right. I don't know anybody that turns right going into the turn.
Yeah, if you met him, right?
Well, he said I turned right, but I'm confused on how I could turn right going into turn four. I was just going down the straightaway, and before
right.
I even got there, I was backed into the wall. He hit my right rear quarter, and he turned hard left on me.
And that'll send you around every time.
So you met him?
Well, I was going straight at it, and I hit the brakes, and I locked it up, and that's when I backed it into the wall.
So you got to meet him personally.
Yeah, well, yeah, he drove into our pits after the race was over. I was confused why you would do that when you. I was very frustrated, and then to come over there and ask what the heck I was doing, I thought he was a veteran race car driver.
Well, he's a veteran, and that's Jeff Schofield.
Well, today Fast Car called me. They said they looked at the tape. And he said he definitely turned left on you. After I did talk to them today, and they asked, would I please come back? Because I told them I was very frustrated. And he said that they would try to do something about it. And he said that's not their first time.
Yeah, well, you definitely had a good car, man. You ran up front all night long. You were in the top five right off the bat. Yeah, I think you qualified. Where'd you qualify?
Qualified third.
Yeah, and you qualified third. You ran in the top five, mostly in the top three all night. After you pitted, it only took you, you know, just a little bit, 20 laps maybe, to get right back up there. And there's no doubt you had one of the best cars, and you were driving it, driving Lakeland the way it needed to be driven.
I really liked that track. I had a lot of fun, and I'd like to do it again. And the Motorman was there. I ran a Chevrolet, and most of the guys out there run Fords. I think they say the Fords have more power right now. And I was running a Chevrolet by Dan O'Connell, and he was there, and he was impressed with the Chevrolet because he said that the Ford seemed to have about 40 more horsepower right now, but I felt like I had something for Wayne.
Well, you race, you live in Georgia, you race around Georgia and other places in the South. What do you think about a Florida Super Late Models?
Oh, there's no doubt that the Florida Late Models are probably the elite group around anywhere, and that's why I like going there. I just think that if you race with those guys, you can race anywhere, and there's a lot of good cars on a weekly basis, and that's what we don't have up here, is that there's not 20, 25 good cars. There'll be 10 good cars, and down there in Florida, you can go to a race, and there will be 20 good cars. There's very few bad cars, and there's a lot of good racers down there.
Yeah, you know, you had your problem with Schofield that night, but there's no doubt, you know, that the guy, Jeff, is one hell of a race car driver, along with Choquette. I mean, we've got the veterans of, you know, Cope and Travis Cope and Jimmy Cope and Pletcher, and then you got Wayne Anderson, Wayne Jefferson. The list goes on, and the competition is stiff here. So for you to just come down here and jump in and at Lakeland to
Absolutely.
Run that kind of a race, that had to be an awesome feeling for you.
No, I really, like I said, when we put on them set of tires, I was really trying to hold on to it after we didn't get tires, and I was wondering what the heck was going on, and I just tried to hold my momentum and stay up as far as I could, But it really didn't matter once I came in the pit. I had to go back to the rear of the field. But I didn't think I'd go up to the front that easily. And I'll tell you what, every single racer out there, I have to put my hand out, because even Tim Russell waved me to go on by. And it was nice because I came up on him so fast. But with the new tires, I kind of felt like Superman out there with new tires.
Yeah, that, like I said, to run with those guys and to, you know, have the problem you had, but to end up where you are, and then you must have impressed somebody in Fast Card for him to give you a call like that.
Well, I don't know. He just said he looked at because I was unsure what really happened, and he said they reviewed it, and it was, he definitely turned left on you, and it was they thought it was intentional. Now what they're going to do, I don't know, but that's between him and Fast Car. But no, I just appreciate him letting me run down there, and they put on a good show, and I appreciate him letting me race with him.
Ryan, when's your next race?
I'm thinking I'm going to go to Ocala Friday night.
There you go.
All right.
Ocala.
No,
getting the Florida bug, huh?
Well, we've been racing every single weekend. We went to Pensacola, Mobile, Lakeland, and then it'll be Ocala. But we're trying to get another car ready, which we got one ready, but it just needs a couple little things done on it. And
come down here to Bradenton with us one time, too.
There you go. No, I've not been to that track, and see, what I've been doing is I've been piggybacking with Wayne, and if he goes there, then I'll go there, and we race against each other, and then that way he says he can show me around the track and get me close in the ballpark, and he's been a great help, and Port City's been a great help, and like I said, Dan with his motors has been really good out of Ocala.
All right, so we'll see you. We'll see you Friday night.
There you go.
All right, man. Look forward to it.
Great talking
Thanks
to you, man.
Much.
I told you.
Good one.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. When he got stuffed into the wall there,
he got stuffed into the wall, Craig?
Well, down.
Is that how you would describe it? He got stuffed into the wall.
Okay, he was gently nudged.
We're not mincing words here.
Gently nudge. Let's just say, Jack. Jack, hello.
Yes.
Just say his fuel cell, the frame was very close to the fuel cell, like right up jammed into it.
Yeah.
Didn't penetrate it, but it was in there.
Yeah, I saw it when it came off the track.
It's called some repair work.
Yeah. You had to do some work down there with Scotty Crockett, too. Scotty took a whack, didn't he, Scott Crockett?
Yeah, he was up high in the turn in 1 and 2,
Okay, time to stop talking about turns.
He's just going to interrupt us. He's going to knock us right off our thoughts, our feet.
Time to stop quitting. Time to quit. Yeah.
All right, Rick, take over.
All
it's
right,
your show.
Go right ahead, Bill.
Bill's over there.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Bill.
We're
going to
let
Bill.
You just take over.
Well, actually, Craig knows more about this next guest than I do. He's the straight liner.
It must be.
Yes,
Brenda Grubbs.
Hello.
Hey, Brenda, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. How's everything going up? Where are you at now?
I am in Plant City, Florida, just east of Tampa.
Great. And tell us a little bit about where your last race was. Where were you coming from?
We raced this past weekend in Steele, Alabama. It was a doubleheader IHRA divisional race.
Okay. And for the fans, tell them a little bit about your car and what classes that you run so that they know it's in the sportsman categories.
Okay. I have a 1969 Camaro that we race in IHRA and NHRA Stock Eliminator. And the car has a 396, 375 horsepower Chevy motor built by Arnold Green.
Okay. And what's the category? What's your class?
Stock Eliminator.
Okay. Great. What titles have you guys, you race with your husband, right?
Correct. I drive and my husband's the crew chief.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about what the competition's like in that class.
The competition is quite fierce. It seems to be getting more and more competitive every year that I race. I've lost a race a couple years ago by a hundredth of a second.
Wow.
Actually, I think it was more like 10. My husband knows it more so, but you lose races by, you know, things that you can't even imagine what it is. Mm-hmm. So it's very competitive.
Now, was that the eighth mile that you guys were running?
We ran last weekend the eighth mile, yes.
Okay. And how many cars were you up against in that divisional race?
This divisional race, it was actually a small field. There were 16 cars one day and 18 cars the following day. It was a doubleheader race.
Right.
You know, depending on the race, I mean, when we were racing NHRA in the Northeast, we would have, you know, 128 cars at a divisional race in the weekend. So it varies.
Now, you're originally from the North?
I grew up in New Hampshire, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Good old Epping.
Yep, exactly.
Close to there? Did you do a lot of racing there?
I actually didn't race there. I left New Hampshire when I was about 18, but I did work at the track, and my dad raced there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be going there coming up with the Nationals, hopefully the weather's behaving and it's not too cold.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you're living in Plant City now?
I am.
Okay. And the race, the tracks down here, how would you compare the ones over in Alabama as far as the, you know, just the whole track itself?
Well, it was the first time we had ever been over to Steele, Alabama. It was the first time they had ever hosted an IHRA divisional event, and I thought it was a great track. It was the people there were fabulous. I thought the starting line was great. The return road was a little rough, I guess, if you say. You definitely needed to pay attention when you're driving back on the return road, as there were some, I guess, edges and little kind of cliffs that you could definitely drive off if you weren't paying attention. But all in all, I thought it was a fabulous track, and we had a great weekend. We went to the finals both days, both events. So it was great.
And how long you been racing?
I have been racing since 1997. I've been racing in the stock class since 1999.
So what got you into racing?
I grew up around it.
Grew up around it?
Yep. My dad has a car, still races, and I always had a passion for it, worked at the track, drove a souped-up Nova in high school, and just really wanted to race. And fortunately, I was given the opportunity when I married my husband.
That's a great deal right there.
That's her crew chief.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when did you start traveling?
We started traveling in December of 1999 was our first stock eliminator race. We were living in Charlotte at the time, and the first race that we attended was in Orlando.
Good at
Orlando Speed World.
Exactly.
Speedway.
Yeah, Dragway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we started racing when we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then through my job, we moved up to Buffalo, New York. So we raced that whole area up there. And about 3 years ago, moved down to Tampa, Florida.
I got a question for you. How long is the racing season in Buffalo, New York?
Not
short.
Long. Not long at all.
No, not long at all.
Okay, great. Tell us about some of your titles you've won.
I was the 2002 IHRA Stock World Champion. I have two runner-up division titles in IHRA, and been to several finals in IHRA, and two finals in NHRA runner-up. I have yet to get an NHRA Wally, but I'm working on it.
So you're running in stock eliminator class right now in a 69 Camaro, I heard you say?
Correct.
Is there any modifications or anything you're allowed to do to the car?
We have a few modifications, yes. Everything, for the most part, has to be stock as how the car came from the factory. For example, we can run a 396 because you could get a 396 motor in a 1969 Camaro.
So that Camaro's got to be worth a pretty penny, you know, being basically stock.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth some money. I mean, it definitely has increased its value with the, you know, winning the 2002 World Championship, and it's a great car. My husband's provided me with a wonderful race car.
So being the world champion in stock eliminator, uh-huh. Are you accepted better at the racetrack now?
I don't know that I'm accepted any better. Maybe people don't want to run me as much as they did before I won the world championship, but I don't necessarily know it's an acceptance thing.
Do you think, what do you attribute it to? Do you attribute it to the car, or is it your driving skill?
What do I attribute to winning the world championship?
Yes.
Absolutely the car. My husband has always provided me with a great race car. And, you know, I had a good year. I was fortunate. I was blessed. You know, had a lot of luck. And, you know, it was early in my career, and I was, you know, pretty fortunate that I was able to keep it together. And, you know, running for a championship and running points is very stressful. And it was a great year. Probably one of the best years of my life. And I was, and to have the opportunity to share that with my husband is pretty special.
So who are some of the people that help you with this car?
Some of my sponsors are Goodyear, GM Performance, Turbo Action, MSD, Goodmark Industry, the Installation Center, Burn Stainless, Mosier, Autometer, Manly, VP.
Well, Brenda, it's been great talking to you here on Real Racing USA. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Appreciate it, Brenda, and we'll catch you at one of the events here coming up.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
To the end of the track. It's time to go. Straight line racing.
We're staging Stevie Latour.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
We're doing great, Stevie.
Hey, guys, just one thing I wanted to bring up when you were talking with Brenda Grubbs. Not only is she a great racer, and her and her husband, Bill, are great people, but she also devotes a lot of her time to a special organization called the Special Operations Warriors Foundation. And, in fact, she travels all over the country working for this organization to help them. And the purpose of it is to provide education for the children of fallen soldiers into special operations. And I wanted to touch base on that and make sure that that everybody was aware of that, because she's a very, very special lady, and her husband, Bill, a great man. And like I say, that Special Operations Warrior Foundation, it's really, really a super deal, and they devote their heart and soul to that. Just, you know, so I just wanted to get that in, make sure that you guys were aware of that.
That's great, Stevie. Thanks a lot, man. All right, what'd you do this past weekend, brother?
Well, this past weekend, I rolled on up to Roxboro, North Carolina. I had a jet show funny cars, you know, the whole bit. Absolutely wild. I had a great time up there. Jet truck. In fact, it messed up the clocks. Took out the inside the tower. It shook the tower so bad that the timing system came down off the wall. But it was fun. You know, you could feel the heat coming through the glass.
Yeah, there's something about those jet shows. They always tear the place up.
Stevie, who was it? Who was the jet? Was it a truck, a dragster, a car?
Truck. I'm trying to think. I want to say. I think it was a Peterbilt, not a Kenworth.
Wasn't Pepe from down here?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was Pepe.
Pepe Urban from down here from Sarasota, and where was he at? Roxboro.
Yep, in Roxboro, North Carolina. You have to visualize this, guys. This jet truck has 18,000 horsepower. Now, for the guys that turn left, you can take that number and go down the front row of a NASCAR race, and you've got half the track in the back of this truck. This truck weighs like 7,500 pounds.
Yeah, he's got one of the heaviest trucks out there as far as jet trucks, and there's only really a few in the country that go around and do exhibitions.
I think four that really are what I call first class, and Pepe is one of those unique individuals.
I've known
Fuel
Pepe.
Consumption on this thing, guys, is 1 gallon per foot.
Oh, 1 gallon per foot. That's 1,320 gallons, isn't it?
Yep, to go a quarter mile.
Yeah. Wow.
It's hard to comprehend. He was running eighth mile, and this thing, just huge tanks on this thing, and it just sucks fuel like it's going out of style.
No doubt. We helped Doug Rose get the Green Mamba back together. And he told us a little bit. He told us a lot about these jet cars, and it's crazy stuff.
Well, they take a J79, and with four stages of afterburner, and then they modify it.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it's actually more powerful than when it was actually in. They used to put them in the F4s, and in fact, it was in a B58 Hustler. And like I say, they modify these motors, and probably my favorite of all time is Bob Motes. Bob Motes generates 20,000 horsepower.
Number one jet truck in the world.
He is absolutely an incredible show.
Hey Stevie, if you'd like, we're going to try to hook up with Jay Turner from Julian, North Carolina, here in a couple of minutes. You up for that?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to put you on hold while we take care of that. If we lose you, we'll call you back.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Craig, you were watching the. You were telling me about the NHRA big wreck this weekend. What was that all about?
Well, not a wreck, but they had a massive explosion. It was Robert Height was trying to qualify. He was actually the top qualifier, and when he got at the finish line, he had a massive explosion.
That was at the finish line.
That was
when
right
that,
at the finish line. He was racing Coletta.
Yeah.
And, something happened with the timing, and usually with those, you know, on and off, and really threw the rods right out of the side of it, and a massive fireball, and hit the right wall. He crossed over. He was in the left lane. He crossed over to the right lane in front of Coletta. Coletta, you know, experienced driver. Back.
He was trying to climb out of the car.
Well, what happened was after he hit the right wall, then he because you can't see. I mean, when there's smoke and fire, it's literally blacked out in that thing. So he hit the right wall, then he slid over into the left wall, thinking that he was in the sand trap. So the whole time he let his chutes out and was pulling on the brakes. So thinking he's in the sand trap, he goes out the escape hatch on the top of the car and then looks out and realizes, uh-oh, you know, I'm still going like 60 miles an hour. So he puts his foot down and is trying to stop the car. The problem is the fire had melted one of the brake lines, and, you know, he kept pushing on it, but it really didn't slow it down. So he rode it out until the sand trap. When it got in the sand, that slowed it to a stop. He bailed out of the top of it. The safety safari came and started fighting the fire. And you know, fortunately, he was great, but an excellent job of driving. I mean, his awesome safety equipment that he had in the car worked. His five-layer suit, the chutes and everything that are designed for that scenario, the reason that he walked away without any injuries.
Okay, I think, Craig, I just got one quick question for you. When you have to deal with this, with your business, Track Rescue, you handle safety for the IHRA, mm-hmm. as well as all kinds of other stuff, Does your adrenaline get going like really off the charts during those kind of events?
Or are you
cool, calm, and collected?
I'm like cool as a cucumber. You have to be. You focus in on what
y'all believe him. How many people believe him?
I've seen him.
All 1,500 of them here at the Snook River Grill all agree with me, right? See, I am as
man.
Cool
both you guys can make a lot of noise
as a cucumber.
Hey, Stevie.
Yeah.
Hey, introduce our next guest, brother.
Well, one thing I wanted to say first is Craig Clark is in charge of the grill on the top end of the drag strip. Y'all need to know that.
He's in charge of the fire at the end of the drag strip.
Now, wait a minute. Step away from the grill.
Burgers.
Step away from the grill.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Enough about him. I got the man on the phone. When it comes to not only Top Fuel, but also in Pro Fuel in the Harley division, they call him the Bulldog. This is Jay Turner out of Julian, North Carolina. Jay, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Jay, the first thing I want to ask, and I'm sure everybody, they heard your nickname, the Bulldog. How did you get the nickname, the Bulldog?
I don't know. You know how the nicknames go. You don't ask for them. You just get them.
There's really no story behind it?
I was raced for a guy, Bobby Buckley. We won two championships together, and he had about 110 Mack trucks at that time. They all got that big ugly dog out front, and they just hung it on us, and it just stuck.
Well, I will tell everybody out there in Radio Land that, tell you what, Jay is a rock. This guy is built like a bulldog, strong as you could possibly want to be. And to be honest with you, to handle these South Fuel bikes, you really almost have to be. Of course, you also are the national record holder, am I correct, in the mile per hour in Top Fuel? I think 224, isn't it?
That's right. I got the speed record in Top Fuel, and I got both records in Pro Fuel, but they are a handful, and they will get away from you if you're not careful.
What's the difference between Top Fuel and Pro Fuel, Jay?
Top Fuel is 200 cubic inch limit, and Pro Fuel is 151 cubic inch limit with no transmission. Top Fuel, you can run a transmission if you decide to or not, and Most of the faster bikes right now run two speeds and big motors.
There you go. Now, I want to know, what's it feel like to go 200 miles an hour in the wide open?
I guess it'd probably be like laying across the hood of Greg Anderson's scoop and looking forward.
Man, Stevie, can you believe that?
Well, you know, something that always amazed me now, how can you steer this thing? And lay to the side, because I've seen the torque these things generate. It's just massive. And the bike has a tendency, it wants to pull towards the guard wall. Jay, I've seen you lay your body over to the side, but you still got to steer. I mean, you know, how in the world do you pull that off?
You just have to make up your mind that you're not going to hit the wall, because that's not good. And do whatever you can come up with to stay away from it. And on these bikes, you got to move your weight from side to side. Because, you know, 90% of the time the tire's in the air to, you know, like counterweight. Just, you know, if it's going right, you got to move left. If it's going left, you got to move right.
How much?
Have you ever lost a race because your front tire was in the air going across the finish line?
Probably. I mean, nobody knows. I know I've lost races when I thought I won, and that's the only thing I could count it up to.
That's unbelievable.
You know, you can't decide things about that. You just let them go as they go and just go to the next race.
Well, I know you're currently number one in the points in Pro Fuel, and I get you're pretty well tangling a lot with last year's champion, Armin Furr, and a young man out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. He's right behind you. But you seem to have him covered. Do you think Furr's got a shot at you, or do you plan to keep on pulling away?
Well, I plan on winning the championship just like Armin does too, but he's a good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, we just came back from down there last weekend. Saturday night, we got rained out. But it was at the Orangeburg Dragster, which is a great facility, I might add. But Armin is a good competitor. I've known him and his father for a long time, and, you know, I sure do like beating them. they like beating me, too.
Well, I'm sure they do. Well, in Top Fuel, curiosity now, can you catch Doug Vansel? You're 82 points behind. We're halfway through the season.
82 points is just, you know, 4.5 rounds. That's, you know, there's a lot of racing left to be done this year. And, you know, actually, like, the top nine and the points are within reach. And, you know, anything can happen. somebody's going to get on a roll. Nobody's got on a roll this year so far, but at some point this year, somebody's going to get on a roll, and that's who's going to win the championship.
And that's going to be you.
I hope so. You know, that's why Johnny and them guys are down in Texas working as hard as they can, and I'm up here in North Carolina. I'm doing everything I can do on my pro fuel bike, and we're going to try to go for the double in both classes.
So, you know, we're going to Norwalk Raceway Park this next weekend. Any special plans up there? How's that track treated you in the past?
Well, I've won the World Nationals there, so, and everybody knows that Norwalk's a go-fast kind of place, and we like going fast. It's a treat to go to a racetrack that's a two-lane racetrack versus a one-lane racetrack where it's not going to be lane choice decision, and you can throw everything you got at it and not take it away. And that's the kind of races we like.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know I'm looking forward to going in there and announcing up there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I think they've put 17 acres of paved pits there and a whole lot of other things, and it's going to be neat to see.
Hey, Stevie.
It's a beautiful facility.
Stevie, tell us how high you'll be up watching the race announcing it from.
Well, it's the only racetrack in all of motorsports to where you have to have an oxygen bottle.
And I've seen you huffing and
racers come to the tower to complain. That's for sure.
I think that's why it was built that way. That was really kind of a neat thing. I think there was probably a track promoter, Bill Bader Sr., said, you know, one way to keep these guys off my back is put the tower up about 350 foot off the ground.
I went up there one time and I said I'll never go back.
It's 125 feet off the ground to the tower. And it's how many steps, Stevie?
They don't have an elevator.
No elevator. You know how they get the sheets. You know how they get the sheets.
In the past, it never did.
Steve, tell them how they get the sheets up and down.
Well, to get any information up and down, we used to have runners, and these young kids were dropping like flies. So they took a rope in a bag. We stuff it in a bag, and we throw it over the side.
It's a bucket.
And we unload it.
It's a bucket. They lower the bucket over the side.
We're back up.
That's one tower I won't see.
Modern technology. Who needs it?
Hey, Jay, it was great having you on the show with us tonight, brother.
I enjoyed it. I appreciate it.
All right. Wish you all the luck, man.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right, Jay. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.
Yeah, it's a bucket with about a 150-foot-long rope, and they throw it off the backside of the tower. They load their information or whatever in the bucket.
Yeah.
They, like he said, they used to have kids, but these poor kids were worn out because it's like 200 steps to the top of the tower. And, I mean, the grandstands there are – that's the one track I don't think you've been to, but the grandstand – it's one of the
Where's
nicest
–
Norwalk, Ohio.
No, I have not been there.
This is one of the nicest drag strips in the country.
Stevie was telling me
it's going to
day.
Become a pre – it is the premier one. It will be soon, bigger than a couple others.
So
but it's –
In a nutshell, what are the main ramifications of this NHRA sale? I know we can't go into the whole thing, but that's going to have some major ramifications.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If you owed a debt, all your debts are paid, and now you have $100 million in cash in the bank, and all your bills are paid, you tell me.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you one thing that I'm not going to a tower that's 120 feet.
No, I'm not going
there,
and I definitely am not climbing the steps.
Well, yeah, you both need to go to the tower.
I will not go to the tower.
No, my tower is high enough where I work.
Are we going to New Mexico right now? Is that where we're going? Where are we going?
Pennsylvania.
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 Redding,
take us there, Stevie.
Hey, from Redding, Pennsylvania. This is Rick Moore. Now, we just left the Bulldog, and there was a comment put on the Internet that tonight I had two guests on. One was a Bulldog, and the other one was a Yorkie, weighing in at 98 pounds, Rick Moore. I'll tell you what, they might call him a Yorkie, but they just can't seem to catch him. Rick, good to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about your weekend and how things went down in Georgia.
Overall, we had a great weekend. We had some problems, engine problems, that we were dealing with throughout the weekend. On Sunday, I happened to take two bikes to the finals and won the Pro Dragster class and runnered up in the Pro Gas class.
So you had an absolutely great weekend. I think also that people need to know that in your very first year, if I'm correct on this, racing all Harley drag racing, you were the record holder in the eighth mile at 158 mile an hour. You were also the 2006 champion as well.
That is correct.
And you also hold the quarter-mile record right now in Pro Drag at 7:13.
That is correct, yes.
Now, that is flat flying on that thing. You know, I understand how the Bulldog is able to twist that bike, because he's a pretty good-sized guy. He's a strapper. But you're 98 pounds ringing wet. You know, how in God's name do you keep that bike in control? Because, that once again, the torque factor is incredible on it. And you're a little guy.
Yeah.
Does that bike pull you around?
It does. It's a challenge for us. It's probably more of a tuning issue than it is maybe a riding issue. But, you know, I have Mike Baumeyer tuning the bike, and, you know, he tunes it to that makes it comfortable and easy for me to ride. And, you know, sometimes I have my hands full with it, and, you know, you just got to know when to get out of it and when to stay in it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see you up at Norwalk, because it is an extremely fast track, and you are the record holder. Do you think there's a possibility you could actually lower that record?
It is possible. We set that record last year with a 7:13 and backed it up with a 7:15, and in Rockingham last year we ran a 7:18. The first pass we made with the bike this year with the new added weight rule, we ran a 7:25 down in Gainesville with it. So, you know, if the air is good, and Norwalk is an excellent track, so I think the facility would allow it. If the air is there, you know, we'll certainly try to if it's possible.
Well, you know, something I think that fans need to know also is the fact that you mentioned about a weight rule. Most everybody was too heavy. So when they changed the weight rule, it made everybody else extremely more compatible, with the exception of you, as you had to add 74 pounds to your bike, and you went 7:24 with a 74-pound add on the weight of that bike. Where is this horsepower coming from?
Well, once again, you know, Mike Baumeyer builds the horsepower. I don't think the horsepower has really been an issue for us, except it's just knowing where to put this 74 pounds is what we're dealing with this year. And, you know, a lot of my competitors are going out this year with the same bike they ran last year with minimum changes due to the rules. But with adding the 74 pounds, we're still fighting where we should put the weight. Not knowing where to put it exactly, that it's going to handle the best and be to our advantage. I mean, because weight can be a good thing. Nitro likes weight. It likes load. And we can build horsepower. That's not the issue. It's just trying to get that horsepower hooked up to that tire to get it down the track.
It's that magic balance that you have to have.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, it's going to be interesting to see when you come up there to the track, because I had no idea that you had actually added 74 pounds to that bike. That just kind of blew my mind away when I found that out.
Yeah, most people don't realize it, but we do. We have it's hanging all over the bike. It's in the front. It's in the rear. It's underneath. It's kind of distributed all over. But you know, there's still things that we're playing with there, as far as you know what we can do to make it to our advantage. And you know, it's the rules are the same for everybody this year, so no one really has a true advantage because of weight. You know, I am probably the lightest rider in DRA, but it's not an advantage anymore. It's leveled the playing field out, and you know, we got to go with what they give us to run.
What was the reasoning for the additional weight?
I don't really know. You know, we set the record. I think maybe some of the heavier bikes or the heavier riders felt that maybe it was a little bit of a disadvantage to them that we had a light bike with a light rider on. So, you know, HDRA looked at, you know, all the information, all the input that they received and made a decision that they felt it was best for the class to put a 5.4 pound per cubic inch rule into effect. So that's the rules we have to play with, and that's what we're racing with.
Is the bike weighed with the driver?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so that does give you a disadvantage.
I think we're right. The cubic inch maximum for the class is 122. Most guys are running 120-inch motors. And so you have to be a minimum 648 to that 120 cubic inch.
You know, something I would like to tell everybody out there, too, that Rick had his first win here at the last race, but he also had three runner-ups, and that is with the weight added on. And already we've seen numbers in the 720 zone, or he's right off that record, considering he added that much weight to it, and they're still struggling to find the proper location. I really think that you know, that Rick Moore is going to be a handful when we roll into Norwalk. It should be a lot of fun to watch you, Rick.
Oh, I appreciate it. Looking forward to this weekend and trying to lay down some good numbers.
Well, again, guys, if you get a chance, you need to come to Norwalk. If you're anywhere in the state of Ohio and you want to see some unbelievable Harley Davidsons.
Not to mention a pound of ice cream for a dollar. What flavor do you like, Stevie?
Well, you know, the neat thing is it doesn't matter because they have them all for a dollar.
And they're fat-free and sugar-free, right?
Well, I don't know about that, Craig. I do know that Craig sends a box up there. It's not for just one. He goes back down there with a dozen of them, and he's only got six guys working, so you can do the numbers.
A box,
and a $50 bill, right, Stevie?
We bring the truck in there. What are you talking about?
I often wondered, where do they get all the ice cream? They will sell, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of ice cream in a single day.
You know, like the Keebler elf, he has the little ice cream elves working under the track to make all that ice cream.
You know, Rick, you might consider some of that ice cream in case you need to transfer some weight. Stop by to get you 2 pounds of ice cream. That might make enough to plant the slick a little harder for you.
Yeah, I have guys all the time offering me cheeseburgers and ice cream. all the time at AHDRA. I never have a problem finding food at an AHDRA race.
Well, you know, I'm not sure just who it was that nicknamed you the Yorkie, but we're just going to see how the Yorkie does this weekend. Maybe I'll nickname you the Screaming Yorkie after this one's over with. They won't want to see you come to the line. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, they know we come to the line. We're all business. No, we're out there to win.
Well, right. I wish you all the best in the world this weekend. And like I say, I'll be by the pits and come by and talk with you guys.
All right, looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and I'd love to see you turn some numbers out there.
Excellent.
Great. Appreciate you guys being on with us tonight on Real Racing USA. And Jack has a thought. Well, maybe. We want to – Stevie, what do we got – what do you think we got planned for next week? Do we know already, or are we going to make it up as we go along?
But what's going to happen is it all depends really what happens at Norwalk and just what the guys do. I'll be looking for stories. So, guys, if you got a story, you need to grab Stevie, pull him aside, and I'll do what I can, and I'll put it down, and we'll see. I have no idea who I'll have on yet because the action's coming up. It's going to happen this Saturday and Sunday. The story's going to happen Saturday and Sunday, and I don't know what it is yet, but believe me, when you go to an all-Harley drag race, there are a ton of stories out there, and it is an unbelievably exciting side-by-side action. In many cases, I always say the old toothpick at the finish line between the tires. They're usually within a thousandth, 2,000th of a second decides the winner. And in some cases, you know, I mentioned the Jay Turner, when you run in the fuel bikes, you can lose a race and actually win it because they actually go across the finish line sometimes on one wheel, never set it down. It's the craziest thing in the world to watch these bikes launch and the front wheel is about 3 inches off the ground and it stays there the whole quarter mile. So lots of action. If you haven't experienced one, you need to experience one of these all-Harley drag races. They are absolutely awesome.
Hey, Stevie, I've heard that you've been getting some good response in that email deal.
Well, I have. And guys, you need to keep on emailing in. I've got some really good responses and stuff. And I want to hear from you because this is all for you. And I want to open the eyes to the rest of the motorsports world about what's out there with the All-Harley Drag Racing Association.
You're
so
going to open them
really
up?
A cool deal.
You're going to open them up, and then you're going to close them when the nitro comes in.
Well, I don't know. I personally just let my eyes water.
There you go. Stevie, what's that email address again?
All right, you can email me at SLETEMPT@sc.rr.com. I would absolutely love to hear from you. And if nothing else, you can go on to the All-Harley Drag Racing Association site, and you go right in there, and you'll see me on there as well. And if you want to get a hold of me through the site, you know, please just jump in there and send me an email. I would love to hear from you. Just go into the talk shop, and I'll answer your emails in a heartbeat. I guarantee that I'll answer them. Give me time to get home now. You know, I'm on the road. But I will not let you down. I will not forget you.
Yeah, you can email me, too, at rickangies@realracingusa.com. We love to hear from y'all. Also, if you guys got any stories for the All Harley Drag Racing, make sure you get with Stevie this weekend because we'd love to have him right here on the show.
Yeah? Well, guys, you can just email him by email.
All right, Steve. We're looking forward to our next segment next Tuesday night, brother.
I promise you, next Tuesday night, Stevie's going to take you drag racing.
All right.
All Harley drags, man. Too cool.
All Harley drags.
Can't even imagine. You know, talking about drive. You know, I think it would be, going up 125 feet on one of them silly
tower
things they got. That's probably would be more able to deal with that.
On the show with a bunch of lightweights.
No, I'm going to tell you something. You should have seen him 8 feet off the ground at Auburndale.
Ah, that's nothing.
It's actually cool. Do you have a problem in an airplane looking out over?
Well, let me tell you this. I went to East Bay Raceway.
He doesn't like climbing grandstands.
I went to East Bay Raceway a couple of years ago, and they had redone the tower up there, okay? And they had made it bigger. It's not high. It's only 2.5 stories high. It's 2.5 stories high. I get to the top of the stairs in the grandstands, and I go to walk around the catwalk. I look down. It's an open grate. I'm looking down at, 30 feet below me. I thought I was going to pass out. They had to come help me down.
Just calm down, ma'am. How many bodies did you find in your swimming pool?
No, sir. In this state, killing a gang member is only an $18 fine. Just mail it in.
What's that got to do with being 30 feet off the ground?
Whatever.
Calm down.
Whatever. Next week.
The winner of the Powell
Memorial.
Who knows,
he'll be around.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to, I think we're going to visit some World of Outlaw drivers.
Oh, about time we got back to them.
Some ARCA drivers. Some dirt late model national guys.
The big guys.
Yeah. And if you want to find out about Florida, you're just going to have to tune in on Thursday night.
Inside Florida Racing.
Well. On which network?
I'm going to tell you, we weren't able to. Wait a minute now. We weren't able to talk to one of the guys that we really wanted to talk to tonight,
James Powell,
because I think I screwed up because he gave me an extra number because I forgot all about
Wait
it.
A minute.
He was going to be at dinner, and he was going to talk to us while he was at dinner, and I brought all the numbers except that one.
Or Kim is having the baby.
Or it's not my fault, and Kim's having a baby, and that's why I couldn't reach him.
Yeah.
But in any event, Thursday night on Inside Florida Racing on Real Racing USA, we will talk to James Powell.
No doubt.
All right, you heard it here first.
Still be mine.
and you can't find the door. You can't find it anywhere, and there's nothing to believe in. And still you're running back, you're coming back, you're running back for more. So put me on a highway and show me a sign and take it to the limit one more time. Take it to the limit. Take it. One more time. Take it to the limit. Come on and take it to the limit. You gotta take it to the limit. One more time.